All right. It's a new day, people. It's a new day. And the new life starts now. And you do that every day. It's a new day every day. And you start fresh every day. His mercies are new every morning, you know. I made friends with one of my neighbors going to help me do some work at the house. And I told him, I said, keep an eye on. If when you're here, if you see a car here, it ain't supposed to be here unless I'm here, you know. Keep an eye on the place for me. And he said, okay. I tell you, after the pandemic, people went really crazy. I mean, they went insane. They really did. I think some people probably have mental or health issues after the pandemic, and or they might have parasites from their animals. Something wrong with people. I don't know what's going on with people. I see it every day at work. People are like losing their minds and stuff. You wouldn't believe what I see. I can't even talk about it right now. I need to start logging it so I write a book. And recently I've been logging something, and I'll write a book one day and make some money off it. Here's how you alchemize trouble, right? How do you do it? The trouble that comes at you, you just look at it from a different perspective. You look at it not from your experience, from the outside in, from an eternal perspective. Let's say somebody spends 2 or 3 months in your world, and you find out that they don't belong in your world because they live a different, their mind, their whole worldview is upside down. It's a world, everything about their worldview is the world. If it looks like the world, talks like the world, dresses like the world, acts like the world, the goals of the world, it's of the world, and that's not the Christian. But you take that 2 or 3 months and you divide it over your lifespan, and it's like 0.39% or 0.4%. It's a very small percentage of your life, you know, and you cut it off at the nub, kind of like going out in the yard and you got weeds in the yard. You dig down and dig the weed up at the root, you know. Because you don't want to leave anything left. You dig it up at the root. And you look at that weed and you say, you're not even real. You're not producing anything. You're not benefiting anything. You're choking out my garden. And bye-bye. You could actually enjoy cleaning out the weeds in your garden. I got a bunch of seeds. I'm going to plant me some garden, some cantaloupe stuff. I'm not sure if I'll be able to be good at it the first year, but I'm going to experiment with it. I got about 15 different seeds. I'm not sure which one I'll plant. But you dig up the weeds and you enjoy that because you're separating the wheat and the tare. You're actually doing what God is doing. Think about that. When you're out there working in the garden, you're actually doing what God is doing in the earth. And you use your Bible as your litmus test between who's the sheep or who's the goat. You're not judging their heart, because God only can do that, but you're judging your life and who gets to come into your world. And most people, I don't even spend 5 minutes talking to, because two or three minutes at the most, because everything out of their mouth is the world, the flesh, and the pride of life, their jokes and everything. I don't even spend 5 minutes talking to them. The average person, I really haven't had a phone call more than 2 minutes in the last 10 years, 5 minutes at the most. The last 10 years, I haven't had phone calls more than 2 minutes at the most. Now, I have had some calls to a few believers that lasted longer than that, but I'm just saying in general, I don't talk to people more than a few minutes if they're lost. I'm talking about on a daily basis. The only people call me is the boss, and coworkers, or if somebody wants to rent a place, or a renter that's needing help. I don't have anything to talk about except for the Bible, except for the 5D experience in the spirit walk. This is just a repeat. And when somebody calls you on the phone, unless they're talking about spiritual stuff, which I like, they're just talking about the same stuff over and over. They love the drama. They want to create their own soap opera. And you say, you know, I told a friend of mine that about 15 years ago. I said, you know, every time you call, you say the same. I already know what you're going to say before you say it. You follow a pattern. Are you saying I follow a pattern? Yeah, everybody follows a pattern. You just don't know it. Anyway, you alchemize the bad stuff, and you can turn it into a book. You can turn it into a movie. You can turn it into a teaching. You can help other people. You can warn other people. You can use it for future, because usually when something happens, it's because if there's a little bleep on the screen, it usually happens to warn you of something else. So I just went through something recently, and I was taking notes through the whole process. So I'm actually seeing that as a precog to something bigger that's going to be coming at me, because, yeah, I've had precogs before regarding this, but this was so easy to see through that it's almost like a joke. It was like cartoonish, cartoon land. It's really cartoonish. The only reason you get caught up in a trap is because you choose to get into it. You choose to step into it. You can't blame the other person. You can't blame it. Because the red flags are always there. And if you think, well, I'll step into this and I'll help them, I'll fix them, I'll change them, I'll be there for them, encourage them, they don't care about that. They've been living this way their whole life and they ain't gonna change. They don't care if they probably had 1,000 people try to change them. They probably had 50 men try to change them, and that's sick to even think about, but I believe it's probably true. All these men want to change this woman, and she don't want to change. She's not going to change. She can't change until she gets truly born again and starts to die daily and to die to her own understanding. But usually what I've experienced in life is the bloodline is so strong and the culture is so strong, people cannot step outside the culture. They're in it. Think about it. Their TV, their music, their YouTube, their job, the people they rub shoulders with, their family, they're interacting with all these people who are of the world, and they're of the world. And if somebody who's not of the world comes in and tries to pull them out of the world, you think they're going to come out peacefully? Nah. It's going to be a fight. When you go to Babylon and you grab somebody's hand and says, leave Babylon, get out of Babylon, it's going to burn up. They are so, I mean, just like Lot and his wife. Lot left Sodom and Gomorrah and his two daughters, and he grabbed his wife's hand and she looked back, she turned a pillar of salt. That's what we're in, people. You're in Babylon, and when you grab somebody's hand and say, get out of this place, it's going to burn up. You're going to burn up with it. Your mind is already corrupted. And you know that his family's mind was corrupted because his two daughters got him drunk to get pregnant by him. That's sick. That tells you how sick the daughters were. And so it's kind of like enablers and codependents. They're in a sick, toxic environment, and they're so used to being enabled by people around them. When somebody comes in and says, I'm not enabling that behavior, that's sick, that's toxic, I'm not going to enable that, and you either get out or I get out by myself. and they want to stay in it. They don't even know it's toxic. They should. They should be able to say it's toxic because they look around and see how people are acting that don't act like them, and you're like, don't you know you're toxic? And they don't even know they're toxic. They think it's normal. You speak some truth and it hurts their feelings. I thought you'd fall down on your face and say, praise God, somebody's speaking some truth. But no, they don't want the truth. They want to live in secrets and fake reality bubbles and gaslighting and cheating and drinking and drugging and all that. They think that's normal. No, that's toxic. If I was addicted to any kind of substance, I'd be going to the counselor to get free. Because if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. If the truth shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. I would go to AA. I'd go to anything I could to get free. Even if it ain't, run to Jesus, he'll set you free. But usually the stronghold has been ingrained in that bloodline and that culture. Most people can't do it because you're gonna have to cut off the noise. You're gonna have to get some fundamental teaching in you. You're gonna have to meditate on that word every night. You might have to isolate yourself for 10 years. 5 years, 10 years, cut off people. And they say, well, ain't you coming to the family reunion? No. Why not? Studying the word. I'll see you next year. Maybe. Next year, ain't you coming to family? No. I'm still in the word. I'm getting some serious truth. You want to come over and study the Bible with it? No, we're going to do that. We're going bowling. Okay. I'm getting back in the word. Well, I'll see you next year. Okay. And they might call you one more year, but then the next, they don't call you. They don't call you. You're in the word. You're in the word. You're in the word. You're different. You've changed. They don't even know you anymore. Your bloodline don't know you. Your ex-wife don't know you. Nope. Your neighbors don't even know you because you've been in the word. They don't even know you. They thought they did, but they never knew you anyway. And most of your family never knew you, and your wife never knew you, and most people don't know you because they don't want to get to know you. They're all about themselves. They never knew you because they didn't want to know you. They had a projection of who they thought you were. They never knew you because they don't communicate back and forth. There's no communion. The only way you're going to get to know somebody is listen to their point of view. You don't have to get mad if you don't agree with them. Just listen. But you don't want to know people. Because all is about is the self. The flesh mind is the self. And actually the self don't even exist. So that's why they are addicted to something. Because the self is always addicted to self-gratification. Instant gratification. The self loves instant gratification. The self loves the fake reality of the self. The self does not love other people with agape love. Seriously. They don't have love for other people. It's all about me. Me, 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 me. Queen bee, me, 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 me. That's all it is. And the sad part is, they hang out with people just like them, and they end up realizing that nobody cared about them their whole life, but they got used to that behavior and they took on that behavior and they think it's normal. So it's normalized that nobody listens to anybody or their perspective, and everything that's evil is normalized around them because that's what they're rubbing shoulders with. They don't even know it's abnormal. The good thing about this experience, I was just chilling and wasn't motivated. Now I'm motivated to catch up. I always need a fight. So I got to work double time to catch up. I took 9 months off, so now I got to work double time to catch up. Do some fasting. Use wisdom. Cut my expenses every which way I can. It's fun to have goals like that and try something new and maybe get a better job, making more money, you know. We'll see how it works out. when you have an investment mindset and a longevity mindset, you're not swayed by the temporary things. It might knock you. You might have an expectation for somebody to be a human, and you realize they're not being a human. That kind of shocks you. They're not even human. They treat other humans worse than they treat animals, and that's what shocks you.
It's like,
wow. It blows your mind. So anyway, you might have initial shock, like, I have seen this before. And so, if they're disrespecting you, but respecting an animal, a brute beast, it means they're probably a brute beast themselves. Why would they put more emphasis on respecting a brute beast instead of a human? Why? Because they're brute beasts. All they care about is brute beast. That's why they hang out with other brute beasts. Birds of a feather flock together. It's really easy. So the initial shock is like, okay, this is weird, but at least I've experienced it before. I saw it before, a long time ago. So I should have known it was going to appear again, because everything in the hologram repeats. It actually only takes you about 11 days to determine the character of a person. That's my conclusion. 11 days and it's clear. You might throw an extra 3 days in there just to make sure that you came to the right conclusion. And then when that extra 3 days is thrown in there, you're like, yep, I was right. This person's not even real. They might be real in their little bubble, but not real in my world. You're looking at a cartoon character. And when you see a cartoon character, a selfish flesh creature that's all about me, you better cut your losses as soon as you can, because they're not going to change. They're not going to change. When you see an employee acting a certain way, and you reprove them, and they make a change for a day or half a day, and then they go back, they're not going to change. It's best to let them go. If they're not a team player and it's all about me on the job, let them go. And I hate to say it, but some careers make you a selfish person. That's why I say Babylon is all around you. Some careers turn people into Jezebels. They have to become like the world. And the only way, what I started a long time ago, I caught it a long time ago. After I got saved, I saw that if I go to work, they're trying to brainwash me to think like them. So I always took a lunch. Even if I went out to my car and sat, because you go out to the car, listen to good preaching, go back to work. But they're always trying to get you to think like the world. And you don't think like the world anymore. And so you go out to your car and take a lunch, or you go to lunch. I take a lunch. Anytime I'm on a full-time job, I always take a lunch, and I get by myself on my lunch. Where are you going? None of your business. I'm going to my car and listen to some preaching. And then they say, oh, they ain't never seen that before. I would think, in my mind, I would think the whole world would do that. If they don't know their Bible, they'd go out to the car, sit down, and listen to some good preaching and learn the word. But no. They all want to go out to the nearest restaurant and get them a drink, you know. Stupid people.